Check your microphone.
Check my microphone?
Yeah, you're breathing in the headset.
I'm breathing in the headset?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay. You know, you just told that to everyone on BBS.
Sorry.
That's okay. This is a come as you are conference call, and my name is Winfrey, and we are doing a simulcast on BBS Radio and a conference call line. And those of you that are listening, I say this very often, this is an experiment because this call is not designed to entertain you. It's designed to create a portal into the field. Do you guys know what I'm talking about when I say that?
Yes.
Yeah? Who said yes?
It's Beth.
Beth?
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Beth. Beth.
Hey, Wynn. How are you?
Beth in Carpinteria.
No, close. El Segundo.
In El Segundo. Okay. All right.
Same thing.
So we spend time together, and, you know, there's a lot of interesting things that your mind might want to know, and sometimes we need to know things in our mind to open the door to possibilities, because in this country, well, let me record this, just a moment. Well, before I start the recording, let's have the people on the conference line say hello. Somebody complained the last time I did a recording that, why are you having the people on the conference line? We want to get to what you're going to say. So I like recording you because I think it's part of creating the group energy. Just when people say their name, they kind of put their frequency out. And when your frequency is out, we immediately start mixing energies and connecting. So I know there's Beth in El Segundo. Yes?
Yes, and, here I am.
And Kathy, who was complaining about my breathing in Tennessee.
We're glad you're breathing, Wynn.
See, this is come as you are. So if you happen to be breathing, you don't have to stop during the show. Just don't... Just don't breathe into the microphone. And who else would like to say their name and their city?
It's Jeannie from Nova Scotia.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi. My first time for a Monday night call with you, Wynn.
Well, that's wonderful. Did you bring some locks for us all?
No, but lots of energy.
Do Nova Scotians eat lots of locks?
No, some.
You know, that reminds me of a terrible joke. You know why you can't put Jewish... Now, I was brought up Jewish, so this is not anti-Semitic, okay? You know why you can't put Jewish people in jail?
Why?
Because they eat lox. Right? Okay, there's a bad joke from Wynn. And who else is on the line?
This is Donna in North Carolina.
Donna in North Carolina? And who else?
Darren from Somerville, West
Virginia. Wait a second. I heard Somerville?
Yes, Darren from West Virginia.
West Virginia. And okay, and who else?
Julian Federal Way, Carol? Washington.
Oh. Julian Federal Way, Washington. And who else?
Carol from Arkansas.
Carol in Arkansas? What city in Arkansas?
I live in Winslow.
Winslow.
Just below Fayetteville.
Carol, have you been on the line before, yes?
Yes.
I thought so. And who else is on?
Mary Ann in Chula Vista.
Mary Ann in Chula Vista.
Suzanne in Concho.
Mariana Chula Vista, Susanna Concho. Did I hear Terry yet?
Francis in California.
Francis in Concord. And who else? Anyone else? Okay. So let me start this recording.
To begin, this conference will now be recorded.
This is Winfrey, and we're on our Monday night call on March 9th, I believe. And did someone just come on the line? I heard a beep. Okay. So this call has always and always will be an experiment because the call itself is part of a flow. We are in a flow, and the intent is to create a flow. And when you create a flow, flows automatically include what's around you, kind of like lots of streams flowing into a river. So just because I am the center or the focal point or talking, each person that's on the line and each person that's listening on BBS is taking part in the flow. So I'm just being a focal point so that we can do that. And this is how I've learned how it works. I'm not really doing it. I'm just the focal point. And the way consciousness works is everyone has the potential to be a focal point for a flow. And since this is not an ordinary thing that people are trained or taught or happens usually, it's something that you would learn by example. In other words, by being part of a flow and feeling part of a flow that someone else is initiating or the focal point for, gives you the exact example how to do that in your own life. But maybe you have to pay attention for a while till you can integrate it, because it's not something you can do with your mind. Your mind can't, I'm going to create a flow now, and then it starts. It's something that you do with your intention, and also getting ahead of your fear, because fear is a block to flow. And I can say that the very first time we ever did a conference call and I started talking, I had fear. I said, oh my God, what am I going to say? What if people are all looking at me and thinking I know all the answers? What if they think, because I'm talking to the Elohim, that there's this great expectation of magic that's going to happen? Can I satisfy their demands? What if I screw up? They're going to think I'm weird for the rest of their life. Those were all the kinds of thoughts that were going through my mind. And I kind of just jumped in and said, let's see what happens. And so I kept calling it an experiment because I didn't know what would happen. It's like, I don't know. I didn't know I could do this. I would say when I first started talking to the Elohim through Daphne, and I said, what am I supposed to do with this? This seems really important. And what I noticed, you know, other people who were doing channeling oftentimes just said, okay, here's our channelings. And they weren't present as a person, but they were just putting the channelings out. And then these guys never did that with me. I mean, they never just said, okay, here's our message, put it out. Never did that. Well, one time I did a website and I said, do you guys have a way you want me to introduce this on the website? And then they gave me two paragraphs, and that was it. But otherwise, they just kept saying, ask us questions, ask us questions. So through this question and answer kind of continuous dialogue we were having, we slowly but surely built a relationship. So now I was having a relationship with this voice, but I was also having a relationship with an energy that I could feel in the space. And I kept thinking, it took me a while to appreciate that that energy was actually an expression of that voice that was talking to me. And it kept being an experiment. Was that them? And finally, you know, I asked directly. In fact, I remember this is in Questions and Answers with the Elohim, and I was having a dialogue with them, and it was with Terry, and we were in downtown Los Angeles, I think. No, actually, we were in La Cañada. And so I was asking the Elohim, I said, so can you guys make an orb happen? Can we see an orb? Because I had read that the way interdimensional groups manifest in this realm was through orbs. And so I figured they're an interdimensional group, and they seem to be fairly powerful, so they ought to be able to create a little orb that I could see, a little something dancing around the room, or they'd say, okay, take a picture, and they'll see it. So the answer surprised me, and it actually set a whole new way of thinking about all of this, because they said, well, we already have an orb, except our orb goes from the earth way up into the sky around you, and it's so big you can't see it. And so I felt the energy in the space, and I could feel it. I could feel the energy. And I started to wonder, how big is an energy that they can project into this realm? How big can it be? I mean, here it's so big that I can't see it. I can feel it, though. I could see the little flecks. They describe little flecks of light. And this is something, feeling that kind of energy was not completely new to me. It was something that even years ago, I would go and sit in the audience of certain spiritual teachers, and I could feel that energy come in. They would talk, and at a certain point, the energy in the room would shift, and I would see these little flecks and these kind of light patterns around people's heads. And I said, geez, this must be the Holy Spirit. You know, this must be what Jesus talked about. And sometimes when I would play music and I would sing certain songs, I could see this happen around the audience. And, you know, when I try to describe that, I'm aware that for me, the way it works is that there are two inputs going to my brain. There's this energy around the top of my head that I can feel the energy, and then there's the visual that comes from my eyes, and my brain is putting the two of those together, and I'm not actually seeing this with my eyes. I'm seeing the combination of signals with my intuitive psychic sensitivity connected to my eyes. And my brain is seeing them both together, and then it comes out as like auras or little life flecks. So I started to look for signs of, this was the first time when I asked that question that I realized that that energy was actually conscious and actually was intelligent and was actually paying attention to me in a very personal way. Now, it was probably doing the same thing years before, but no one ever pointed that out to me, so I never considered it. It was just always there in the room, and sometimes the person that was giving the talk would take kind of credit for that energy and call themselves the perfect master, or they give a mantra and say, if you take this mantra home, you'll be able to be initiated and feel that energy. And actually, it's a co-creation. The more I've learned about this, and this is just from my perception, is that when that energy is present, other people are feeling it. They may not be seeing it, but they're feeling it. They're feeling a peacefulness. They're feeling a shift. And it's something that affects us all. And it's a manifestation of what some people call the field, the unified field. I hear Terry must be on the line. She's breathing into the phone. Is that you, Terry? Terry?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking. Are you in the McDonald's? I hear you.
McDonald's parking lot on my Bluetooth.
Okay. Now, you're not very loud, but I can hear you. Okay?
Okay.
So, when you invoke this field of energy, now, you know, for a long time on these calls, that energy didn't come in until after a while. What happened towards the end? And I would be talking, and at a certain point I could feel the shift in energy. But there's people on the call who have been either coming in for a long time and gotten tuned into that and are starting to hold that energy on a more regular basis in their life. Or there's people that have learned how to hold that energy in other ways and recognize it, so that for whatever reason, it's kind of like, I feel like we're hitting the ground running. The energy is there. And so we, whether I call in the light or don't, or whether I say it or not, we are connecting our energies through the field. And we are all in each other's spaces. And we've got, if I have all this right, because it's invisible, according to the information in the channelings, they are in our space also. And kind of I've learned how to identify this huge energy that can project into the physical realm, and that we can all be one with, that connects us all. So now, when you start doing that, you are truly a spiritual being in a physical body. You know, whenever I say things in words, I say it's not quite nailing it, because as soon as you think you understand it, you don't. I don't. I'm just in it. I'm learning more and more how to be in it. But if you create an identity for it, you kind of freeze frame it, and you're not in a flow. A flow is a flow because it's moving, because it's constantly changing. So every minute we're here together, we are in a flow, and if I was going to describe it, it looks like, and we do this all the time on our Sunday conference, on our Sunday planetary healings, it's like the energy, if you shut your eyes, you can feel the energy move through the top of your head, and you can imagine that there's these other people here on the line, and they're doing the same thing, and all these energies combining somewhere in another dimension that we can't see. But we can kind of sense it. We can intuit it. Where does this energy go? How does this work? And we are creating the experience of moving our energy to the other side of the veil. Right? The veil is the term that's used where the energy gets blocked and just can't keep moving, and we can't see it, and we are compressed into this realm. Now, most humans are compressed. Most humans see things through their emotions, their brains. They don't see things through their energies. And in order to have this experience, I believe the easiest way is to be in the space where someone else is bringing this energy in and you have the experience of it. Because otherwise, you're trying to just explain it in your mind. And your mind just, it would be describing color to a blind man, or to a colorblind person. No matter what you say, the colorblind person is not going to get it. But if you could open their eyes for one moment to the perception of color, then even if they go colorblind the next moment, they will remember what the color is, and it becomes a reference point. So that's what we're doing. We're creating a reference point for how it feels to open your field up interdimensionally. And when we do this, when we open up interdimensionally, one of the great advantages or one of the great things that happens is that when you have an intention, your intention starts moving into these other dimensions and starts creating what you're intending, and it can manifest then back down into the physical, and something in the physical can change and shift to bring about your intention. And if your intention is one of planetary service, one of positive creation, service to others, then as your energy moves into these other realms, you have all these positive forces joining with you to help you in your intention here in the physical. And so this is the way that we stand a chance of uplifting the physical realm by learning how to hold this energy. Now, you can do this and suddenly, you know, you can do it in your life and you can feel very separated because so few people actually do it. And particularly if you're in a normal life in a city or your normal families, so few people are able to hold that energy, although there are quite a few people that will respond to you when you start holding the energy in a larger hologram. And there will also be people that reel against you when you start doing that, because they were used to being able to grab your energy in one of the lower ways of grabbing it, through your emotions, through your mind, and suddenly emotions and mind are still there. They don't go away. They're like tools, but suddenly someone that was trying to grab your energy can't do it anymore. And they feel abandoned. They feel, where is she or where is he? And so if you're going to hold a higher hologram in your space, there's a certain amount of wisdom to apply so that you can make the most of it for yourself and for those around you. And sometimes it's not about explaining all this new paradigm information. In fact, that can actually work against you because that's mental. It would be, I often tell people that I think that I'm presenting a cosmology that is probably one of the most accurate cosmologies in terms of the way realms interact and who the intelligences are in the other realms that are the positive ones that are available to assist us and help us. I think it's more accurate, and it's proven itself to me that it's real, and you know, I tested it over a long period of time, and if I tell you the cosmology and you just believe the cosmology in your mind and say, oh, this is a better explanation than the one I used to use, well, all you've done is replaced one dogma for another, because the cosmology, without the expansion into the hologram of these higher dimensions, is just another belief system. And even if it's the right belief system, it's the wrong belief system because it's a belief system, and belief systems are in the mind. They're not in the heart, and they're not in the hologram. So it's, how can you use this new cosmology to expand yourself so that you can be walking around in your life and holding this higher hologram or this Christed consciousness or whatever you want to call it? Even to name it is to risk creating a belief system, because people are quick to latch on to things like that, and thinking they are something that they're not. And so those of you that keep paying attention to this work, that are reading my books, that are reading Message a Day, every day, that are part of Light Body, we are not creating a belief system. We're not creating a cult of a bunch of people to believe the same thing. We're creating the tools so that you can learn to live in an expanded hologram, that's what I'm calling it, and to then know how to use that expansion to uplift your own life, your own environment, and also to engage the cooperation of these group souls in creating intentions that can transform this planet. Because the belief systems don't change other people, but the expanded holograms do. And they don't have to even understand what's going on. Over a period of time, they will shift their consciousness. They will feel this example, and they will shift. Not everybody. Some people are just too attached to their contraction and to their old patterns, and they're not ready for it, and that's okay, because everyone has to do this out of free will. But there are so many people that are so hungry, is the word hungry? Hungry for this experience of something, looking for something that's really real, and many of those people are what are, you know, Ra calls wanderers, and the Elohim calls star seeds, who have come into this realm, and they have the cellular memory of this kind of expansion, and they respond to it very quickly. And why do 90% of all the wanderers get lost in this realm, according to Ra? Because they can't find anything to match their expansion. And after a while, just in order to get along, they contract. And then they become part of this realm. And yet, this, what we're doing, is the very thing that has the potential to wake somebody up and say, aha. And I know that works, because I get so many emails from people that indicate that it's happening for them. So I'm just describing here what to look for, and the signs to look for it. Now, I know this is not necessarily easy. Once you get, even if you're on the line and you feel the reference point of the energy, the first time, or even the first year, certainly for a period of time, you may feel it in response, but you're not able to be a source yet. In other words, you can join into this flow that we're creating, and you can be part of this flow, but you're not yet masterful enough to move into your own life and create a flow. And creating a flow does not mean you have to be a public speaker or have a radio show or talk to the Elohim. It means holding your hologram higher than the world, higher than the lower vibrations, the dense vibrations, to be able to be in those dense vibrations and hold the higher energy regardless. And what will happen as you do that, people will start joining your flow if you hold it. But you have to hold it above the miasms of the world so they can feel it, so they can sense it. And then you can put out little feelers, or, you know, things that little handles that they can grab hold on to, like Matthew had suggested. Well, just put a good book on your desk and wait for somebody to ask. And that's the key. Another key here is, and this took me, I've learned this particularly in this work in this group, because I don't think I had a clue about this idea entirely, and that was the idea of reaching back. It's not something to teach somebody and just put to them. By reaching back, the act of somebody reaching back creates group energy. And group energy automatically starts the process of expanding the hologram. So, in your life, you can start observing the expansion of all of your relationships, and see if you can identify any of them that have this quality of an expanded hologram. Now, sometimes you can do this by intention. And one of the things is while I was writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and Terry and I were reading, Terry helped me edit it, and we were reading the raw channelings of David Wilcock out loud, we could feel our energies combine while we were reading that. And we could feel their energy come in. After, it took me a while to realize that they were coming in and that was them, but I didn't realize that at first. So if you have a partner somewhere that won't think you're too much of a wacko, you can start reading chapters of The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And it would probably work with questions and answers with the Elohim also. Although the raw channelings are not quite as provocative or as controversial as the Elohim channelings. Because the Elohim takes the position of being way out there and beaming into this realm. And, you know, somebody that's skeptical is going to say, can that really be true? Could they really be out there? Is that them? Whereas the Ra channelings are just wisdom, many of them. And the wisdom, you don't have to make any leap of faith or leap of belief to believe in wisdom. It's like the Matthew channelings. We've never got a confirmation of this, and I'm not going to ask even in my own channelings because I wanted to honor the free will of all the people involved, the beings involved, including Matthew. It's not relevant because the wisdom stands on its own. You don't need to believe, even if you think Matthew is making it all up, the wisdom of the channelings stands on its own. So, wisdom stands on its own. But the idea of some source way in a higher dimension beaming love, light, energy into this realm is, now, you might be able to feel it, but you can say, how do I know where that's coming from? And we really can't prove it. For myself, it's only been over a long period of trial and error that I have convinced myself that it works this way. You know, oftentimes, many of you have heard Terry channel, and we do put this was in questions and answers with the Elohim, and this was one of the things that said convinced me this has to be real, and it had to do with the connection of Terry and St. Catherine, who's a Catholic saint. And I had asked Daphne in a channeling, so was Terry anybody famous? And they said, look up St. Catherine of Siena. And I looked up St. Catherine of Siena, and Terry was the spitting image, or very closely resembled St. Catherine. Certainly beyond the probability of just a random connection. And so then I went and I studied St. Catherine's history. And I found out that St. Catherine would go, she was a young woman, and that would go to the local monastery in Siena, Italy. And when she spoke, the other nuns would write down everything she said because they believed God was speaking through her. And right now, and this is available for free. You can look it up on the net and download it. It's no longer copywritten. I don't even know if it ever was copywritten. It started out in the 1300s. But there's St. Catherine's dialogues with God. And this is an official part of Catholic literature. And I read a good portion of those dialogues because I was trying to connect sources. You know, we live in a very sophisticated world today, and when we read these channelings that are coming through either David Wilcock or myself or Carla Rucker or Terry, there's a certain level of their ability to match the sophistication of us, whereas in 1300 A.D., things were far less sophisticated, and things had to be presented simply. And I started to put together the idea that the simplistic way that God was presented, and certainly never with any understanding of group souls and group soul interventions and all of that, was necessary to a certain degree to create a focus and for them to create a vehicle to create the wisdom so that people would listen and apply the wisdom. Wisdoms like love your neighbor as yourself, or when two or more are gathered, I am also present. You know, when two or more are gathered is exactly another way of saying what we're doing now. We are gathering here with a high intent, and that there is an energy present that's bigger than all of us individually, and some of you are feeling it. I won't say, since I don't know who's out listening in VBS internet land, maybe some of you are listening to this with your minds, but you're not yet at the point of feeling the energy. But I will tell you that if you check in regularly, particularly on the Monday and Wednesday calls, chances are you're going to end up feeling a shift during the call. And also, I mean, it happens on all the calls during the week. You know, Tuesday night we have a call with Wayne reading a Crow reading. Thursday through Sunday we have calls just calling in the light. And basically, those calls are conducted by people that have been on this line for a long time and have picked up the energy and learned how to hold it, and they're creating their own flow on those calls. They're creating a flow. They're invoking the energy and creating a flow. But they may not be as articulate as myself or as good-looking as Matthew, or being able to bring through the kind of super wisdoms that Matthew brings through on Wednesday. So it's good to hook into the Monday, Wednesday calls and then check out the other ones. Now, one great advantage of the other calls is it's probably where the community starts to build, where people get to know each other. They're smaller, they're more intimate, there's more back and forth. And on Fridays, I believe Suzanne has a conference or a discussion group where people just talk about things and share their issues, talk about some of the philosophies of the raw groups. You know, people can bring anything, and it's like those are calls that help create community. So you're not just listening to me and picking up these higher signals, but you don't feel like anyone knows you. It is important that you're known, that you are present as a human and not just an audience of a little stream going into a big flow. So on the other calls during the week, there's the chances to have those experiences and join with people. And, you know, I'm always looking and exploring ways to increase the affinity levels of people that come into these calls. One of the things is Matthew, our Wednesday night channel, is kind of a computer whiz as well, and he put together a networking group and kind of like a MySpace for this group, but it's limited to this group. Or at this point now, when I'm not talking about it, but we've never really officially invited anyone. But we talked every Friday. We have what's called a steering committee meeting, where we discuss, what's going on. And actually, I feel a great sense of responsibility in this work that I'm putting out. And the people on the steering committee give me feedback so that I don't make a big mistake. Sometimes, I have the potential to make a mistake, and I really appreciate the teamwork. Plus, it's a team that is holding the energy for something, not just me. Even though I may be the guy who's talking or getting the attention or writing the message of days, what people don't know is there is a group that's of high intent holding the energy of the hologram so this can precipitate as a planetary manifestation, which it's starting to do. I don't know, those of you that haven't checked out Message a Day or read The Blast, this Saturday I was just bumped up to a keynote speaker at an event in Los Angeles called the 2012 Quantum Leap Conference. And it's being put on by these two people, Shri, Ram, and Kira. And she is a channel, and he is kind of a ground. And there's going to be 1,000 people there. And I can tell you, this has not been easy for me to put out and figure out how to open up doors for these kinds of events. But what's happening is that because of Message Day, because of Light Body, because of these conference calls, slowly but surely we've been anchoring an energy which is precipitating more and more into the physical realm. And so I thank all of you because you're all part of this flow. And even though when you're on this line, you can think that you're just an audience, you're not. By holding this energy, you are creating a space, we are creating a space that is uplifting the planet. And it's like a candle that lights other candles that lights other candles that lights other candles. So before you know it, there's light where there was dark. So that's a vision. Hold. Whether we'll succeed or not remains to be seen. But we are succeeding because as far as we light up, we're lighting up each other. And I put out the vision that we could light up the planet. There's certainly lots and lots of people out there and help introduce them to this new way of experiencing life in the middle of a huge field energy. So there's Terry in McDonald's, and here I have talked again the whole hour, and it's time to get off the phone and give the lines back to BBS. So let me just announce, if I'm not cut off yet, my schedule is I'm going to be in Los Angeles this weekend in Burbank Airport on Saturday. And the following week, I'm doing a telephone conference introduction for the people that got the platinum packages and people in Lightbody if they want to show up. It's an introductory talk. And the following week, which is the 29th on Sunday, I'm doing a talk in Carlsbad at the Windmill. And I'm using messageaday.net as an anchor point. And on that note, I'm going to say goodbye to everyone on BBS. And if I haven't said goodbye yet, if they haven't left,